T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
For years now, we have been calling Chris Rose to be a guest. He's always great and calls us back and says, I'd love to do it. So he's either very nice or he's lying about it in a friendly way. Either way, we're thrilled to have Chris Rose back, who we used to tell you was from MLB Network, of course, NFL Network and other things. Now he is with John Boy Media, which I think is absolutely fascinating. There's not a lot of people who have, you know, gone to John Boy. And I love John Boy Media. When I think of my favorite media entities that have come across my timeline in the last few years, he's one of them. And now Chris Rose is part of that. He's got a podcast that they launched, and they launched all the way to number one. It's the number one baseball podcast in America right now. Chris Rose on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. How you doing, man?
Doing great, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you back. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of spring training and baseball talk, tell us about your decision to join John Boy Media and what this podcast is doing. I think that guy is one of my favorite finds of like modern baseball media, and it's great that you guys have connected.
Yeah, it is. I've known Jimmy and Jake for a few years now. And so after I left MLB Network, once again, not my choice. I imagine people kind of saw what transpired in the last few shows of Intentional Talk. My contract was up. They were making budgetary cuts. I wasn't the only one. Unfortunately, they cut 17 people behind the scenes there recently, so they're really doing a gut job. And it stinks. It stinks. It's a lot of good people behind the scenes who helped build that in the place into what it has been over the last decade. But I knew I wanted to stay in the game somehow. So it's not a question of really reinventing yourself. It's what do you feel like you do best? And with Intentional Talk, the thing that people always talk to me about that they enjoyed most were the relationship that Kevin and I had, and I couldn't duplicate that because Kevin wasn't going to come along for the ride. But the other thing was the interviews. They liked getting to know players as more than just baseball dudes who swung at a slider 3-2. Like, they wanted to get to know them, and I felt like I could do that. So how can you do that? Like, when you have baseball players on, you'll have them for 8 or 9 minutes, and then you'll say goodbye, and you won't hear from them again on your station. Maybe in a couple months you will. Here, I wanted to have these guys as rotating co-hosts, not guests, but co-hosts. So every show, I've got one of 6 different active players that will be my co-host. I started off with Trevor May of the New York Mets. Tomorrow, the episode with Stephen Brault of the Pirates drops, then Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, then Archie Bradley of the Phillies, Miguel Rojas of the Marlins, and Lucas Giolito of the White Sox. And in addition, we're going to be having guests throughout the show as well. It could be guys they either play with now, have played with, or have just played against, or could be from outside the baseball world. And it just kind of gives us free rein to go wherever we want with the discussion. At MLB Network, there were some things I couldn't talk about. I couldn't talk about owners suppressing salaries. I couldn't talk about what really goes on in clubhouses, what really goes on in the minor leagues, things of that nature. Here I can.
Good luck to you, man. Absolutely. We're going to be pulling for you. It's called the Chris Rose Rotation, and you can find it in all your places. And we got baseball. It's coming back. Spring training is around, and that's a good sign. What I don't like, though, is that we have most games going now like 6 innings, and that to me is a little odd because it feels like there's going to be less minor league baseball than ever before. Spring training is going to give you a chance to work guys out, see who's, you know, the back end of the rotation, this, that. Why is there less practice minor league developmental baseball now than ever before?
Well, because of a pandemic, I mean, the reason you're seeing teams walk off the field after five innings right now is because they don't have enough pitching. And they're trying to protect these guys the best they can. I mean, you don't want in the first week of March guys getting hurt and not being available the first week of April, right? So what they're doing makes sense. They can't have as many minor leaguers at a facility because, you know, you have to still remain socially distant and things of that nature, and the facilities just aren't big enough in order to incorporate all that. So there was just a story out that the AAA season is going to get pushed back at least a month. Does it suck? Yes. But, I mean, those are, to me, that's a necessary adjustment. And that's just the way I feel about it. I think, you know, I think it's actually prudent, as we like to say. It's prudent.
Couple of things about your rotation. One, who's your opener? And two, what is it you're going to get in your ideal situation that you couldn't have gotten even within the confines of working for MLB?
So the first one dropped, and it was Trevor May, and I said, hey, you're kind of my opener. And he just joined on with the Mets after 6 years with the Twins as a really good setup guy. He just inked a free agent deal, and he said, don't call me the opener. I prefer hitting leadoff because I'm, you know, I was really fast as a kid. So I said, okay, Trevor, I'm not going to call you the opener. But what you get is, first of all, there's a real comfort level. The good news is that I've interviewed each of these guys a ton of times over the years on Intentional Talk. So it's not like I'm introducing myself. Hey, it's Chris Rose of John Boy Media. I called these guys. I presented them the idea. Like, my first call was to Trevor May, and 60 seconds in, he was like, I'm in. I want to do it. Then I called Stephen Brault of the Pirates. And for people that aren't familiar with Brault, he's got an amazing personality. He's this phenomenal singer who actually, you know, majored in performing arts in college, and that's what he wanted to do. He tells an amazing story tomorrow about almost being on a certain singing reality show. Let's just put it that way. But, you know, Ray, your question about where we can go, anywhere. And I think that's the beauty of this. You know, Trevor May took us through his entire decision of what it was like to be one of the first free agents to sign. And he was an alternate player rep for the Twins. So he really understands the system. And he kind of broke it all down for us. Why basically fans are getting a big plate of BS from the owners and why you should be upset if your team is not spending money. It was really fascinating. I can tell you this. I could not have asked those questions on MLB Network. Without getting suspended.
Well, not that a suspension isn't, you know, it's nice unpaid vacation. You take a week off. I mean, there's only so much malar you can endure. The other thing I wanted to know is picking who you did, you know, and other than Giolito, these are guys who baseball fans know, but not casual baseball fans.
Right.
How heavily are you relying on them sort of carrying the show with the unique things that they bring without having the name recognition that normally people are addicted to?
It's a great question, and I would answer it this way. That we are in the perfect time where stars don't have to be born as stars. What I mean by that is young people's favorite TikTok, you know, the people that they love on TikTok aren't stars because of their name recognition. It's because of what they bring to the party that makes them entertaining, right? And in the digital world, that's a huge play. So wouldn't you rather listen to an hour of somebody who was super entertaining than an hour of a big name? Listen, I love Mike Trout. Do you think he'd be good for this?
Oh, no, I'm not questioning your choices. You're using intelligent content to replace the star system. And,
yes.
And I guess that's what I wanted you to talk about is, you know, how you're able to sort of make this work in a weirdly hyper-competitive, get-the-big-name atmosphere because, you know, Stephen Brault, whose story is a great one because I know about it, you know, is still not a household name. And how do you, I mean, what is it you're planning to do with him other than just let him go and be him to make him a household name?
He'll become one because of who he is. And I'll use a great example. In the NFL world, sometimes certain networks fall in love with gold jackets. What I mean by that is you have to have been a great player to get anywhere near our set. Well, one of my good friends at NFL Network is Nate Burleson. Nate Burleson had a really solid NFL career. Most people cannot remember one play from his career. And what I mean by that is he was good, but he didn't stick out. There are very few people I would rather listen to on television tell me about football than Nate Burleson. Same thing with Dan Orlovsky. I mean, all we remember is the guy running 8 yards out of the back of the end zone and Jared Allen clapping in his face when he played for the Lions. But he's awesome on TV and on Twitter, right? I mean, you'll listen to what he says because he's interesting, he's passionate, he loves the project, and that's what you're going to get out of a guy like Stephen Brault. It just is. I'm telling you, he's got a totally different perspective. And it's nice to hear from a guy whose interests vary more than golf and hunting.
All right, so let's talk about baseball here. The San Francisco Giants are in an interesting spot because it's hard not to imagine them looking up at the Dodgers and Padres. So just from a what should fans want and look forward to perspective, how do you see this Giants team?
Well, I think they're still... I think the one thing that Farhan has done is he's done a nice job turning over this farm system, and that's the last thing you want to hear if you're a fan, right? Because for Giants, you're used to winning world championships in 10, 12, and 14. But part of the reason he was brought in was to pull off the Band-Aid, and it started with the transition in the dugout with Bruce Bochy moving on. You know, eventually a guy like Hunter Pence, who endeared himself to that city, it's going to happen at the end of this year, most likely with Buster Posey, and Brandon Crawford. And then, and their entire starting rotation could end up being in the last year of their deals, right? So they're going to turn this whole thing over for 2022. I don't know how many tentpole players there are on the roster right now. What I mean by that are the guys that I know I can firmly write in that lineup and build around, right? Your two best outfielders are 30 years old. And I think they'll be around by the time that Farhan is ready to sprinkle in and start spending, you know, cash in the free agent pool. So I would just say, if you love baseball, watch the Giants, but temper your enthusiasm.
Chris Rose here.
Suck or no?
No, I think that's very, very realistic. Chris Rose on 95.7 The Game. You said their outfielders are 30. Everybody's 30. Like, this is an old team. Everybody's 30. And when I start looking at pieces and what they might be worth to other teams, which Giant do you think can position himself into having the most trade value to actually get something back for the cupboard?
That's a tough one. I don't see any bullpen arms that scream at me that could get you anything amazing. Like I said, your starting rotation, even if one of those guys gets super hot, let's say, like, what are you going to get for 2 months of Kevin Gausman? I don't see a lot. That's the problem, right? And the rest of it all comes with heavy contracts. I mean, I think Brandon Belt's a really good player when he's out there, but he still is owed a decent amount of money. And in a time where the collective bargaining agreement ends December 1st, are teams really going to want to take that? I don't know. And give up, more importantly, give up high-end prospects. They're stuck, right? Longoria's 35. Heck, even Tommy La Stella, who they just signed, is 32. Wilmer Flores is the young pup. He's 29 or whatever he is. It's not a good situation because you can't say that these are guys I definitely need to have on my team. there's too many questions between injury history and massive contracts to get anything enormous in a return, in my opinion.
I would have told you that Hunter Pence should have been your guy for your podcast, but he's no longer here anymore. What giant do you want on your podcast?
You know, Yastrzemski is interesting. I've heard some interviews with him. I think he's kind of an interesting dude. Longo was great back in the days in Tampa, and I would kind of love to know where he is. I'd heard a rumor that maybe Tyler Glass now rents his house now in Tampa, so if that's accurate, I might have to pull that trigger.
Totally.
Well,
and you think Longoria is at that point in his career where he's not measuring his words carefully anymore. He don't care.
Right. No.
That's who you're looking for.
No. Yeah, I mean, listen, he used to be a great, great interview, and I just haven't talked to him much recently. And, you know, I think that he probably would still be really, really interesting. But, you know, I've talked to a handful of these guys, you know, Austin Slater, Steven Duggar. Those guys are still kind of young. They haven't done a ton of interviews. The rest of the rotation, I really don't know. Dave Sclafani. Is there anybody you can help me out with, guys? Maybe we can.
I'll tell you, Yastrzemski is good. Don't get into the whole, you know, your grandfather. I think he's tired of that question. So just keep it on baseball. And Yastrzemski is really, really good. I'm thinking about Oakland A's, who might be good for you. Marcus Semien was great. Oh, never mind. Oh, sorry about that.
No. Yeah, I'll tell you who's actually pretty good is Laureano, because he doesn't give a flying you-know-what. That guy will say anything, and he's fine. I mean, they also used to have Liam Hendricks, who's one of the best interviews in the game, and he will definitely be coming on.
Hey, I want to thank you very much for joining us, Chris. We wish you the very, very best. Tell John Boy we said hello. We're a fan of his, too, and continued success with the podcast launch.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Anytime, it's good catching up with you. Thanks.
Chris Rose with